And thank God for another day that we can be together as His people under His watchful care, with grace available to us and the Spirit to lead and guide us. We are a blessed people. Could you find 1 Thessalonians chapter 3? Our text for the day will be a little, just slightly different than listed in the bulletin. It'll be chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. And I'd ask you to stand. You're going to have plenty of time to sit. But if you could stand while I read the scriptures in your hearing. We honor God and we're thankful. We demonstrate our gratefulness to Him as we hear His word together. Beginning at verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians 3. It reads, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God. Verse 10. As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Verse 11. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. Amen." Father, help us now to understand what you're saying to us. We need you, Lord, to open the Word of God that we might understand the meaning, that we might see how it applies to us. And then, Lord, we'd ask you to grant grace that we might obey you for your glory, for the good of our own souls and the progress of the kingdom. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for today is good news for a faithful servant. Good news for a faithful servant. I don't know if you all heard last week or so, a teacher of witchcraft prayed to his gods before he went to gamble. And he got the good news that he had won the lottery. About $49 million. On the other hand, a group of Christians have been praying to our God and Father for well over a month about those hostages that were taken over in Afghanistan. And last week, they got the good news that those hostages has been released. Now, they both got good news. My question to you is, all good news the same? Is there any difference between good news? Does all good news affect you the same way? Is there any difference in the quality of good news? I probably shouldn't sidetrack you, but I hope this is from the Lord. It just came to my mind. Any of y'all ever watched that, what's the girl from Kansas that got law Dorothy and Follow Yellow Brick Road? What is it? Wizard of Oz. You ever watched the musical version of that? With the old witch from one of them, the south or the north, and she had a factory going, and her, the theme of her factory, don't bring me no bad news. Well, you may not want bad news, but you still need to think about whether all good news is the same. All right? Some of us in days past got good news that sure got us in some bad trouble, didn't it? All right, well, I'll sidetrack too much. All right, so let's think about this together. Good news. You remember last week we saw how a Christian ought to respond to satanic opposition, right? It's a reality for us who are engaged in gospel ministry. We've got satanic opposition, and so we looked at the life of Paul to see if we could learn how we ought to respond. And so we saw last week that the grace of God enables you to be determined to go on in His will. So there's loving determination to have interaction and a face-to-face interaction with people. But we also saw that when you're facing satanic opposition, you got to be wise. So you need to seek wise and godly counsel to see if there are alternatives. Just because you have a plan doesn't mean that that's the plan that God is going to use, right? You can still have success and it not be your plan. Don't we know that? The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord must direct his steps. And so we saw that it certainly behooves us to seek wise and godly counsel about alternatives. And then thirdly, you remember we saw that you need to focus on the goal. The goal of the gospel is to bring disciples to maturity, even when they're under pressure. Even when they're being persecuted and affliction, don't lose sight of the fact that God plans for Christians in trouble to mature just like everybody else. Don't lose sight of that, okay? God doesn't plan for trouble to give us excuses for living compromising lives. That's the reason Jesus came, to show us how to live in trouble. Amen? And so we saw that pattern there as we studied how the Christian's response to opposition. Now, remember, as we began here today, Paul has rightly discerned that God is not going to remove Satan's hindrance, right? He realizes that God is not going to let me carry out my plan. And so he saw that there was a wise way to still succeed, and he sent Timothy. I can't go, but God's got another way, right? So he sent Timothy to Thessalonica because Timothy was well qualified to help them too. He realized that I don't have to do everything myself, which we agree that we need to think about too. Amen? And so he sent Timothy. And now, today, what we're looking at, Timothy has gone, he's ministered there at Thessalonica, and he's come back to Paul. All right? He's returned to Paul with good news. Yes, good news. Good news. So, we're just going to look at two things today. I want to look at the content of the good news and the effects. In other words, what was the good news, and how did the good news affect Paul? You ready? Let's look at the content. Two things I observe about the content. I see it all in verse 6. You're looking at verse 6? 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. The first thing I observe about this good news is that these brothers and sisters loved God. You're looking at verse 6? But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love. That's it. They loved God. Good news in the New Testament normally refers to the specific gospel message about Jesus Christ, right? The good news we see in Luke, and it's oftentimes, good news is oftentimes used as in lieu of the gospel. The two of them are synonyms. But in this case, the good news refers to believers who have faith in and love for Christ. So it's not the specific gospel message about Christ, but it's about those who put their faith in Christ. It's about those who love Christ. That's good news. Because that's why Christ came, is it not? He came to seek and save the lost. And so it's good news to find that Jesus' plan is being worked out just as he said it would. Would you agree with that? It's good news to see genuine faith and love for Christ. It's good news to see true redemption. That's what genuine faith in Christ and love for Christ is. That's true redemption, right? That's eternal life. And here's the thing. Here's why it's such good news. Persecution will never force a true believer to apostasy. Trouble will never force a true believer to abandon Christ. Never. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. That's the reason we can read the stories of those believers in the first centuries who were thrown to lions, they were boiled in oil, they were tied between horses and pulled apart, they were skinned alive, they were boiled in oil, but they never denied Christ. Because persecution can never force a true believer to apostasy. That is good news. That's what Romans 8 is all about, isn't it? We'll be glorified with him if we suffer with him. And then he goes on to tell us, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. Do you believe that? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news. Better than $49 million. You believe that? I ain't going to side road too much, but you need to think about this. While you're sitting around drooling over that $49 million, you got eternal life. Don't you run out and play the lottery. You've already won. Right? God's faithfulness to his children through trials is good news. It's good to see God take care of his children. When people thought you were going to give up, you didn't. When you didn't know how much you could stand, you stood anyway. That's good news. Good to see God's faithfulness to his children through trials. These brothers and sisters prove that they loved God, and that is what? Good news. Good news. There's one other piece of this, and you ought to be getting it by now. There's one other piece of the good news. Not only did they love God, but who else do you think they loved? They loved Paul. Do you see that? Go back to verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and look, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. That's good news. They had pleasant memories of Paul. They remembered that Paul was with them as their mentor. Paul was with them as their teacher. They remembered that he was there as their counselor. They remembered that he was there as their prayer partner. He was there as their pastor. He visited them. He was there. He was there. And they didn't forget him. He was there as their friend. And they didn't forget him. They didn't blame Paul for their troubles. Now you think about this. Because it was tempting. They didn't say that Paul is the one that brought this persecution on us. Because you know, persecution came because of Paul. They drove him out and they started persecuting anybody else that followed Christ. They could have blamed Paul, just as you saw Israel did. Right? You remember how Israel turned on Moses? We were doing fine until you came and how asinine is that? You were in slavery. I come set you free. You get out here and get hungry for a day and you can't remember how it was in slavery? Now don't get so hard on Israel. Think about your own life. You see, sometimes coming to Christ means you lose money. Right? You lose prestige. You don't get the new car. You don't get to live where you plan to. So don't start thinking about how it was. You've already won. We need to remember these things, don't we? That's good news. So they didn't blame him. They didn't blame him for leaving abruptly when they needed him. And they also longed to see him personally. They wanted to see him face to face. They wanted to look in his face again. Don't you know that that was good news for Paul? You know how it is when you got this distance between you and someone you love and you don't know what's going on and you wonder what you ain't heard from them. See, they didn't have telephones. Right? And they didn't have a way of having instant communication like we do. So you have to wonder. And when God finally brings you some good news, oh, that's good news. That's wonderful. He heard they wanted to see him face to face. That proved to Paul they still love me. They loved God and they loved Paul. I want you to think about something for a minute, because I had to over the weekend. It's extremely rewarding to hear from people who you've cared for. It's extremely rewarding to hear from people whom you have discipled. So let's not forget people that took care of us. Let's not forget those who discipled us when we were young in the faith. Let's not forget them because there's some time and distance between you. It's tempting, isn't it? Because the weeks go by, then the months, and the years. But let's not forget them. So the question is there anyone that you need to contact to give them good news about God's faithfulness to you? Is there anyone you need to contact to let them know your labor was not in vain? Somebody probably needs some what? Good news. And who knows? God may get some good news to come back to you. Because after all, you never really know the impact you have on people's lives. God takes what little bit we do, and he uses it for great purposes. Isn't that wonderful? So that's the content of the good news, and then let's look at the effect real quick. I observe right away the effect of this good news on Paul is that he was comforted. You see that in verse 7 and 8? He was comforted because of this good news. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. You hear it? He's comforted. When he gets this good news, it does him good. His heart is put at ease. Because Paul loved them, he was genuinely concerned about their well-being. Because they were in serious, life-threatening circumstances and afflictions. So he seriously is concerned about. He's concerned about their physical well-being. He's concerned about their spiritual well-being. Wouldn't you, if you knew someone was in danger? They are your disciples. You love them. You care. You've invested in them. You are concerned. Isn't that true? We can relate to that. But the good news brought him comfort. The good news brought him encouragement. The good news brought him joy. Listen to me. Even though his personal situation didn't change. You hear how he said it? In all my distresses and afflictions, I've been comforted. My situation didn't change, but oh, my heart has been lifted. Doesn't it work that way? Real good news can lift your heart when everything else is just like it was. You begin to see that these light, momentary afflictions are not worthy to be compared to the eternal weight of glory and all that God is even. Come on, brother and sister. Aren't you awestruck that God would use you? I am. It's staggering. God would actually use you to help someone, not just a little bit, eternally. So Paul is comforted. The next thing I observed is that Paul is thankful. You see that in verse 9? For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? Paul attributes the perseverance of these saints to who? God alone. Paul contributes the faithfulness of these saints to God alone. Therefore, since God is the reason they persevere, since God is the reason they're faithful, who is the one that's worthy of thanksgiving? God. God is the one that's worthy of thanksgiving and praise. So, when you get good news of how you've been used in someone's life, it's not to build you up. It's to what? Give glory to God. Isn't he good? God uses these circumstances to bring more glory to himself. God is worthy of praise and thanksgiving because he's the one that has kept these. Paul wasn't even there. He wasn't even involved. So he knows that if they've been kept, if they persevered, if they've been faithful, it's because of God alone. Regardless of our personal circumstances, listen to me, we always have reason to praise and worship God. Are you tracking me? If you follow what I'm saying, you've always got reason to praise and worship God, even when your personal circumstances are a mess. Isn't God wonderful? Even when he doesn't remove the thorn, you can still praise him because he's worthy to be praised. As a matter of fact, God says this, you have to learn to praise me for what I'm doing for other people. Woo, that's wonderful. I didn't change your situation, but I got to learn to thank God for what he's doing for you. And that's what we learned Friday night. Rejoice with those who what? Rejoice. And that's what we learned in 1 Corinthians 12. Suffer with those who suffer. Rejoice with those who rejoice. We have to learn to rejoice when God is blessing other people. Got to get beyond the flesh. And I'm not talking about that phony platitude. Pat you on the back when... I'm not really that... I'm patting you on the back and kind of turning away because I'm a bit envious. No, no, no. Real joy because God has demonstrated his goodness with someone else. That's the way you worship God. That's the way you can find reasons to thank God in all things. And I'm going to get to that later on in a few weeks. In all things, in everything, give God what? Thanks. But you got to be looking. You got to be observing. You got to find reasons to give God thanks. And that's the reason I believe that some of those who came along before us understood when they were. You know, I grew up much like you in the churches where I used to hear people pray that, Lord, we just thank you for a reasonable portion, y'all hear it, of health and strength. There's a whole lot of good theology there. Yeah. You see, you've got to learn that you need to thank God for that things are as well as they are. You can't keep looking out there the way it could be. No! It's as well as it is because God is good. I thank him because he's good. How can Johnny Eric Santada and others who will never be relieved of their difficulty in life, how can they praise God? Because they know that things are as well as they are because God is good. Now, how can they praise God and you've got full activity? You can't find a reason to praise God? Even if your situation doesn't change, every saint in here, if God never does one single solitary thing till the day you die, you got enough reasons to praise God until the day you die. Because every day that you live, you'll be breathing his air. Every day that you live, he'll be keeping your heart going. Every day that you live, you won't have senility because he's keeping your mind. So every day is what? A day of Thanksgiving. Wouldn't it make a difference in the day if that's the way it started? Rather than going down and complaining, get with God. Now, I'm not... We learned this in growth group, too. Everybody don't wake up shouting. We know that. So we're not trying to fake that, right? Everybody ain't rising from the bed with their shouting shoes on. But before you leave the house, you ought to get them on some kind of way. It may only take you to, it may take some folks 20 minutes. You may get there in two. It may take me 20, but either way, before you leave, you ought to be where you can thank God. There's plenty of reasons. I'm serious. Take the directory. You get tired of looking around, take the directory and see if God's blessing somebody else. I promise you, you'll find reasons to thank God. See, our prayer life is too self-centered. That's the reason we can't thank God. Which, by the way, that's the third effect on Paul, right? He was comforted, he was thankful, and when you're thankful, you pray. You see how he said it there? He was motivated to pray more earnestly. Look at verse 10. As we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. That's a whole sermon right there. But let me just put it to you like this. Difficult circumstances in life can negatively impact your prayer life if you're not careful. Difficulties in our lives can create stress and anxiety. Come on now. Anxiety. We don't like to admit that, but it does. And it affects us. I got colon problems, so I know when I'm under stress. I don't know where yours is. Some people get migraines. You get aches in your wherever. But that stress and that pressure comes in with the difficulties of life, and it affects your prayer life. Here's the danger. If you're not careful, you begin to focus on your problems. Focus on the unknown. Focus on the what ifs. But Paul said, no, I got good news, and it caused me to look up from these problems and look up to God. And so he's praying now with his focus on God. Makes a difference. I'm going to prove it to you. Look at how his prayer life changed. You go back to the text. God's faithfulness to these believers stirred up Paul's faith. And now Paul has got the eyes of his heart are fixed on God. And he now believes God to do more. When God has done a little bit, you trust him now to do more, right? Look at how he prays. Now he says, God is the only one who can control Satan's hindrances. You see how verse 11 reads? Now may our God and Father himself, is that in your Bible? And our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. Now, God is the one that has to open up this way. God is the one who's in control of Satan. God can make a way for me. God can make my path straight. When God wants me to come to you, I'll come. And he's able. He's not threatening anymore. If God is able to keep you when I'm not there, he's able to get me there when he wants me there. That's the difference in your prayer life. And now he can go on and pray for these brothers and sisters. He can go on and pray because he now knows that God is the only one that can make them increase in love. God is the only one that can make anybody mature. God is the only one that can cause us to grow in love. You see how he says it there? Look at verse 12. Now you ought to see it by now. And may who make you grow? May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. You see the difference? Pray to God. God is the one who can change people's hearts. God is the one who enables people to love each other. God is the one who searches the heart. God is able. Paul is focused on God now. And then he can finally say, God is the one who can establish your lives blameless. God is the one who can enable you to live a holy life. See verse 13? So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Oh my. I may come back to that in a week or two. But it's jam-packed. God is the one who does it. God enables us to live. God doesn't just tell us to live holy and say, go out there and do it, will he? No, I'm going with you. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I gave you my word. I give you my spirit. I give you grace. I give you mercy. I give you friends. I give you brothers and sisters. I give you everything you need. We just got to believe Him. We got to get our focus back on God. If He's done it before, He'll do it. He's able. Do you believe it? He's able. If He can do it for these believers here, He can do it for us. He's the same God. I, the Lord, change what? Not. The same. Yesterday. What? Today? Forever. Well, I'm going to have to go. You remember back in Numbers 13 and 14, after God had delivered Israel from Egypt, and He'd promised them that they were going to go to Canaan, go into the promised land, you know that? And so, but they didn't believe Him. And so you come to Numbers 13 and 14, and they decide, we got to check this out. You know the story, right? So we need to send 12 spies in there to see. I know God said we can do it, but we need to check it out on our own. So they sent these 12 spies in there to search out the land and actually to come back and report back to them about what kind of problems we're going to have. How tough is the enemy? What kind of opposition are we going to have when we get in there? I know God said we can do it, but let's check it out. So, 10 of the spies, the Bible says, came back with a bad report, right? 10 of the spies says, we cannot defeat the enemy. The enemy is too strong. The opposition is too great. We can't go. But two, Joshua and Caleb says, the Bible says, they brought back a good report. Joshua and Caleb says, well, wait, they had to quiet them down. They were all fussing now. Quiet them down to say, wait a minute. I see things a little differently. The enemy ain't so tough. We are well able to overcome them. That's what they said. It wasn't because they were so powerful. But he's saying, you got to stop looking at the enemy and start looking at who? The Lord. The Almighty God is stronger than the enemy. But now, who did they believe? They believed the bad report. Isn't that something? And so they yielded to the temptation of fear and unbelief. You know what happened to them? God killed every one of them. That entire generation was destroyed, including the 10 that brought back the bad report. They could have been blessed if they had only believed the good report, the good news. It's time to stop thinking about Israel. When you look around this room, when you look around at New Hope and this community, are you more like the ten spies who saw the enemy is so great and the work and we can't have victory? Or are you more like Joshua and Caleb who says, God is mighty, and I believe that He'll give us victory if we'll trust Him. Got another question for you. What kind of report do you bring back to people at New Hope?
Do you bring back a bad report to discourage your brothers and sisters? Or do you bring back a good report that will comfort and encourage them? Stop thinking about Israel. We all could see Israel's problem. We are for Israel now. We own the true Israel now. You see, because we got a Canaan right here too. I can't hear you. Why did God send us here? Is it because the enemy is so strong? Is it because we can't have victory? I can't hear you. We need to think about these things, don't we? What you have to say about God's work and plans at New Hope Baptist Church affects your brothers and sisters. Right? And God is taking note of what we say. Don't turn. You can make note of it if you want. I want you to listen. I'm going to read Proverbs 15 and verse 30. Listen to it. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. Good news not only affects you spiritually, good news actually affects you physically. Worry will kill people. Unbelief and fear will... I can't digress too much here, but I'm going to tell you, a primary cause of cancer is worry. Good news affects you physically. And some of you, you know what I'm talking about. Not only does your heart get lifted, your body, you feel like doing things when you get real good news. It refreshes the bones. And this is another way the Proverbs writer said it. In 25:25, listen to this. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, I know you can't miss that picture. Ooh, anybody that's ever worked on a hot day, hot, sweaty, tired, like these past 4 or 5 weeks, and you get that big glass, sweating, it got ice cubes clinging in it, sweat dripping all off the side of it, ooh, and... ain't it good? Good news is like that. When you've been dry from the difficulties and trials and tests and afflictions of life, some good news comes in from the Lord and invigorates you. Isn't that good? We need to remember that when we're using our lips. You ever been thinking about my question? Is all good news the same? Is there any difference in good news? You know, we all will admit it's certainly beneficial and it's encouraging to receive something unexpectedly, right? Like a gift of money. That's good. It's beneficial. Or someone gives you some clothing. Or someone gives you an appliance, or someone gives you a vehicle, or someone gives a student a scholarship to school. That's good, and it's beneficial, but it's temporary. Would you agree with me? Because the money will get spent. Is that true? The clothes are going to wear out. Is that true? The vehicle, the appliances, and even your own body will fail. But now, the good news regarding the kingdom of God and those things in the kingdom will never fail. The good news about souls being saved and people growing in grace and in love with God will never fail. The good news is that Christ has saved some souls here at New Hope. Is that true? That's good news. The good news is that saints are learning to persevere in spite of Satan's opposition, in spite of trials, in spite of difficulties, in spite of all that life is throwing at them. Saints are learning to persevere right here at New Hope. The good news is that God is carrying out His sanctifying work among us to prove His love for us. So let's be comforted today by this good news. Let's be thankful today by this good news. Let's be motivated to pray more earnestly today by this good news, because God is at work right here. Be encouraged to pray more earnestly for progress and the success of the gospel among us. Our Lord has promised to complete the good work that He began in us. And this, my brothers and sisters, is what? Good news. But you know, I got one last bit of good news. If there's someone here who does not know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I got good news for you. If there's someone here who's been carrying around the guilt and shame of sin, it doesn't matter if you've been carrying it around for 5 years or 95 years. I got good news for you. If there's someone here who's weary and tired and wants to find the true way of life, I got news for you. Good news for you. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And what's He going to do? He'll give you rest, my friend. He says, come to me. You don't have to float around through life listening to lies and disappointments and thinking that money is going to do it for you, or sex is going to do it for you, or drugs, or a successful job, or the right car, or the right house, or the right spouse, or right children. No, my friend. Jesus is life. To live is Christ. And I plead with you, if you don't know Him, today, when we bow to pray, yield yourself. Ask God to search your heart. Ask Him to deal with you honestly and truly. And you will find good news flooding your heart like cold water on a hot, thirsty day. Your soul will be quenched, because God will water your soul from heaven. He'll pour it out until your cup runs over. So I invite you, if you don't know Christ, believe on Him today. Believe on Him today. And if you do know Him, trust Him. Father, thank You for bringing the good news to us one day when we were so lost. Thank You for opening our hearts so that we might see and know that it was good news. And thank You, Lord, for the wonderful ways that You encourage us in this Christian journey. You know when we grow weary. You know when life has beat us
down, and you know how to break through with good news at the right time. And so, Lord, for the saint that's weary, would you refresh their hearts and their body today? For the sinner that's lost, would you bring true refreshment from heaven to their soul? Bring them into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of your beloved Son. And Father, I just want to ask you, if there's someone here that needs to join us in membership, would you just work it out? Would you bring good news to their heart today that this is the place they belong? We give you thanks and praise, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.